You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vargas? We don't need no Vargas. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Would you be shocked if I put on something more comfortable?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like The Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Just wonderful, Paul. How are you?
Just wonderful indeed, Sean.
That is amazing to hear.
You know what? I figured it would be. That's why I left a dramatic pause that I'm definitely not going to take out in post. But anyway, Sean, I'm so excited to talk about this.
Talk about what?
Talk about what we're going to be talking about.
Ah, okay. What's that?
Well, if anybody's reading the episode title, they probably already know. So I don't know why I keep doing that.
Are they though?
I would think so. It's episode number and then the movie. I used to do the movie quotes and I couldn't keep up with it anymore.
It was just getting a struggle. I get that.
The struggle is real. But today we are talking about not only a movie, but two movies, which is terrible setup. I'm not doing so hot right now. But we're talking about a franchise that we loved as kids, we love even more as adults, and they'll never be able to capture this kind of magic again, and that is, of course, the Ace Ventura franchise. Sean?
I don't think they'd be able to capture this type of comedy again.
I don't think so either.
I think these two movies are a snapshot in time of what the 90s were in terms of comedy, and it was special. It really was special.
Yeah, so what's even better is they tried to recapture this kind of comedy when they did the sequel to Dumb and Dumber, and they learned, stop it. Stop it right now.
They learned, stop it, but, okay, you're talking about the actual sequel to Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels?
Yes.
Or you're talking about the...
The prequel? No, I don't talk about it.
I actually enjoyed the sequel to Dumb and Dumber. I thought it was a good attempt, but yeah, it didn't capture, you know, exactly what the original did, but... If Jim Carrey were to come out of his semi-retirement right now and do an Ace Ventura movie, I would be first in line to see it.
Of course we'd be first in line to see it. That's not the point. That's
because also, I think he could still do it.
That's also the reason why The Mask, the sequel, was even worse, was mostly because Jim Carrey wasn't involved at all.
Well, absolutely.
Did you ever see Son of the Mask?
No, you've asked me this millions of times, and I always tell you no.
How are we going to do a Mask episode if you've never seen Son of the Mask?
We've done plenty of movie episodes where I've not seen the sequel.
Fine.
So
I'm feeling a little, maybe Jim Carrey month. Let's just make December Jim Carrey month since we ran out of good Christmas movies.
Well, yeah, we already did How the Grinch Stole Christmas, like 2 years ago. So
we did, can't do that's right. Yeah.
We could do the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol.
Oh my God, no.
I actually like that movie.
I don't remember it, so.
You haven't seen that since we saw it in theaters?
No. The Deadeyes Polar Express style of animation really scares me still. And it makes me uncomfortable.
It was better in that movie.
Well, because
it wasn't Polar Express.
Well, I mean, we had reasons why that movie was better when we saw it. Anywho. So I digress. But for us, like this, Jim Carrey was a definitive feature of the 90s between this and The Mask. I think they came out like what, a year or two apart?
This, let's see, hold on.
I'm holding.
This is 1994. Mm-hmm. So Jim Carrey in the year of 1994, he did, I got it right here. He did Dumb and Dumber. He did The Mask, and he did Ace Ventura: Pet Detective, all in a single calendar year.
That's wild.
And then in 1995, he does the sequel to Ace Ventura, and he does a little movie called Batman Forever.
What, like, the 90s were all Jim Carrey. Like, so, I can't.
So a two-year period, he was pretty much probably the number one box office, you know, star, I think, going, because just that's five movies, you know, depending, I'm not going to look at their individual, you know, money making, but in terms of where we stand 30 years later, those five movies are all, in my opinion, iconic films.
And then you got like a Liar Liar rolled around pretty soon after that.
Liar Liar was a couple years later. The Cable Guy, which as kids we probably didn't understand, but looking back on it as adults, that movie's like a cult classic.
Oh, it's got quite the following behind it. And I was the same way, though. Like, I remember seeing it and then hating it, like, as a kid.
Yeah, because then you got Liar Liar, and then you got, and then he starts to get into, you know, the little more serious stuff with like Truman Show and Man on the Moon.
I love Truman Show.
You know, and then he get, then he does How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You know, and then it kind of starts to wane, you know, a little, obviously. Bruce Almighty, though, I think is harkens back to this humor, the Ace Ventura, Liar Liar.
To a point, yeah. It's not, you know, like, obviously.
I don't think it's as memorable as Ace Ventura. Or,
I don't think he goes as far.
No, I don't think so either. But just for your first five, technically they're not his first movies, but his first five starring gigs. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, you know, many people can top that.
All right, you ready? I'm going to list it in order from 1994, because that's really when he got big, to, let's say, we'll go to
2004.
All right, we'll go to 2000.
It's a 10-year period.
All right. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Mask,
Hit.
Dumb and Dumber,
Hit.
Batman
Hit.
Forever,
Hit.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls,
Hit.
The Cable Guy.
Not a hit, but it's become a cult classic.
Liar Liar.
Hit.
The Truman Show.
I think it was a hit. It was a critical hit when it came out.
All right, you ready for this one? This is a deep cut. Simon Birch.
I forgot. He's like the narrator.
And the adult. Yeah, like, you know, you finally see him at the end.
I remember that, but yeah. I don't count that, but okay.
He's got a starring credit in it. Man on the Moon.
Yeah. Probably a critical hit, but not a money-making hit.
Me, Myself,
and
Irene. That's
oh, my God. How did I forget that movie?
I love that movie. That movie's so
that
much fun.
That movie is, hands down, probably that and Grandma's Boy are the best movie going experiences ever in terms of just laughing my ass off.
You know what would have been awesome if they'd done a Me, Myself, and Irene and Something About Mary crossover and called it Me, Myself, and Mary?
That would have been funny.
Because for me, like, for some reason, I know it's because they're the same directors, right? The Farrelly Brothers?
Farrelly Brothers.
That's why, like, Dumb and Dumber. Those two movies just interchange with me for some reason. It's just the tone, the style, the comedic, you know, stylings, all that stuff.
I mean, people forget about Me, Myself, and Irene because There's Something About Mary was just such a
big hit,
you know, hit. And then Me, Myself, and Irene comes out a year later, and it's the same humor in a way, maybe a little more over the top and a lot more probably, you know, toilet humor, I mean, I guess would be the term, but They're very similar in terms of their comedy style movies, but just I feel like Me, Myself, and Irene gets forgotten, you know, behind There's Something About Mary.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas in 2000. Hit. The Majestic in 2001.
I love that movie. Not a hit, but I love that movie.
Bruce Almighty in 2003.
Hit. Memorable.
Pecan Pie, which is a short film. We're not going to talk about that. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I've heard very good things about it.
That's a hit. Yeah. That movie is beloved.
Yeah.
For good reason. It's a very good movie.
Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
I forgot about that. I don't know if that was considered a hit, but big book. It was a big, you know, very high expectations, that movie, because it was a big book series.
Yeah, and then we start the decline.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Mr. Popper's Penguins, Fun with Dick and Jane.
I forgot about someone. You and Me saw that in theaters, I think.
Yeah, I have not seen it since.
It was not that memorable. No. It really wasn't.
I actually liked Yes Man. I thought that was pretty good.
I actually never saw Yes Man, but that was also very similar to the
to Liar Liar and stuff humor, like that. Yeah.
Liar Liar humor.
The Incredible Burt Wonderstone? I didn't see that. Kick-Ass 2?
He was great in that. He really was great in that movie.
Cameo in Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. They're the Canadian hockey team. Sorry.
Yeah, and then he did Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yep, The Bad Batch, Dark Crimes, and then both Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
That's right. And Sonic the Hedgehog is kind of his return to the over-the-top comedy.
Yeah. It was made for him. He's really good at it.
So in the 10-year span from 94 to 2004, I'd say, maybe only two of his movies were not, financially successful.
Yeah. Like, he is fantastic. You can't say a bad thing about him except for his personal life and his personal beliefs. But otherwise, like Jim Carrey, like when it comes to comedy, he no matter what he's in, he's still good.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so let's talk about this movie though, because Sean and I actually have differing opinions of the Ace Ventura films.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do indeed. Oh, dude, before we even say, did you know in 2019, a third Ace Ventura film starring Jim Carrey was revealed to be early development?
I did not know that, no.
All right, you ready? By March 2021, the film was officially announced to be in development with Pat Casey and Josh Miller signed on as co-screenwriters. The project will be a joint venture production within Warner Brothers. Plans to release theatrically and streaming on Amazon. Carrey revealed that he was considering retiring from acting. While there are no official plans for the film, he joked that he would star if Christopher Nolan directed.
What?
Carrey later said that there was no official plans for the film, but he joked that he would star in the film if Christopher Nolan was to direct. I would actually really enjoy that. But I'm sure if he gets the right script, he would be all about it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and again, this is 1994, so Jim Carrey he's known, he's not a movie star, but he is famous from television. He's, In Living Color. Had been on for the previous, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was a standout performer on that show. And then before that, I think his real big, only big movie appearance was Once Bitten. Did you ever see the Once Bitten? His teen vampire movie? And Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh!
He plays one of the aliens in Earth Girls Are Easy.
But, that's right.
Yeah, this was his coming out party from TV to movies. And man, did he. No, and nobody knew what it was going to be. I mean, the movie was released in February of 1994, and February is well known to be a dump month where it's just get the movie out. We don't know what it's going to do. We don't have a lot of high hopes for it. Budget of $15 million, and it ended up making $107 million for 1994.
That's huge. That is a
basically,
huge
jump. Yeah, crazy. So
let's talk about this movie first, and then obviously we'll talk about the sequel. Because, again, like I said, Sean and I have differing opinions where he likes the first movie better, and I like the second one better. I think I maybe saw the second one first, and that's why, which usually happens when you watch movies.
I think I did too, because, again, we were 7 years old when this movie came out. I don't think either of us saw this in theaters.
No.
I mean, I don't think I saw the second one in theaters, but I had seen the second one on TV more than I had seen this one.
So the biggest defining trait of Jim Carrey is obviously he is a huge performer and he's got a face probably made out of rubber. So like he brings every amount of energy humanly possible. And you can tell from the opening scene where they first introduce Ace Ventura and he's just kicking that package across the way. He's disguised as a UPS driver or whatever it was. So basically the story is the Miami Dolphins have a dolphin mascot that gets kidnapped. And the mystery is who took the dolphin. So, it's super simple. It is the simplest movie concept, and I think it works in its favor for it. Because then the twist at the end. Let's address the twist because there has been a big push in more recent years to cancel certain aspects of this film, and primarily the depiction of a transgender person. Now, I understand the modern contemporary view at it. I really, truly do. But 1994 was a very different time. So we're not going to hold that against this film. I'm sure if this film was made now, they would have done the Finkel and his Einhorn reveal differently. Sean?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were asking me a question.
I thought you might throw in a thought or something.
Well, I mean, again, we're talking about, we go through this with most movies we talk about, especially a lot of 90s movies, and just, you know, you go along with what was, I guess you could say, is acceptable back in 1994 versus what, you know, is acceptable now. And obviously, yeah, if this movie was written now, I don't even think that storyline would have been dealt with.
I think they might still have done it, because really the backlash is Ace Ventura's reaction to it. You know, when he's plunging his face and he lights his clothes on fire.
It's his reaction is the fact that, yeah, it was what he believes to be this very attractive woman. And it is a woman playing the character.
Yes.
So maybe that's another critique of the way it's handled in this movie, is obviously when you're transgender, you know, would they have gotten an actual transgender actor to portray the character?
Right.
I'm sure this never even was.
This wasn't a thought. Yeah, I mean, it's like when you talk about Friends, and Friends made a lot of gay jokes. Like, let's be honest, it's still a beloved show by everyone. And yes, the script probably would have been slightly different, but I think the essence of this movie would have stayed the same. Mm-hmm. So now that that's out of the way.
But again, and I just want to kind of finish this off. It's the whole notion that I think Silence of the Lambs was accused of it because it betrayed a gay character being a murderer. This betrays a transgender character as a murderer. The Crying Game, same thing. And so it was like, oh, well, everybody's now just going to believe transgender people are murderers. Like, no, it's a movie. Yeah. You know, can we just establish that it's a movie and this is a character that they created? Looking back on it now, yeah, is it done distastefully? I don't know. I really don't.
Because you know what, for me, when I think of the character of Ray Finkel / Einhorn, I don't think of them as an actual transgender person. I think of them as somebody who just conveniently found a dead body that they took over the life of.
That, and I just, I pretty much think of them. I mean, I don't, it's, and in terms of his reaction to it, I mean, it's comedic. It's just funny. I mean, it's, not like, I don't know. I don't want to get too the weeds on it, but it just stuff like that bothers me. And I'm like, it's a movie. It was not done to hurt anybody or, you know, take down a whole group of people. It was just done in a comedic form.
Yeah. But right. Ray Finkel was just crazy. Let's get over it. All right. After the dolphin gets kidnapped, they hire Ace to do this. Now, Ace is also down on his luck completely. He's got no money, but he's got 10 trillion pets in this little tiny apartment. Did you know that the landlord was a recurring character in the animated series?
I did not. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I ever watched.
Oh, I did. I watched that and the Mask cartoon show. They did a crossover.
Yeah, I think it was the same actor also who voiced the character, probably. I think it was Rob Paulsen who did Raphael from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't remember. I'm going to have to figure that out. No, it was Michael Dangerfield.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah, wow. That's so funny. I like Michael Dangerfield. Anywho.
But it's, you know, you establish quickly that he's a pet detective, and they reach out to him about the dolphin, and we are introduced to the character of, why am I blanking on her name? Melissa Robinson, played by Courtney Cox, who this is right before Friends.
Friends, that's right.
This was released in February 1994. Friends aired for the first time later that year. She's known. She's a known actress. She, you know, was around on TV a lot, so she's not like not known, but you know, they pretty much team up and you automatically assume there's gonna be some, you know, romantic thing between the two of them. They actually have good chemistry, the two of them, I thought.
They do. They really
do. They worked well off each other.
Well, I think, in all honesty, it's hard to find anybody that Jim Carrey doesn't work well off of. Like, because just he brings so much energy, and he brings so much charisma to whatever role he does that, like, people just like him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, looking back on it, you know, yeah. I mean, Courtney Cox, what's her name from Dumb and Dumber, Lauren Holly. He's also very famous for having relationships with all his female co-stars for the first, you know, couple of movies he does. He was married to Lauren Holly. He was married to Renee Zellweger for Hot Minutes. Mm. So, you know, apparently he was a Casanova.
Oh, I love it. That makes me so happy for some strange reason. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Who else? I don't know. But, yeah, like, he just seems like some sort of, like, just a nice guy. I mean, really, the only thing is some of his personal beliefs, but we're not going to get into those. So
personal beliefs are?
Yeah. So he gets hired and the mystery begins, and they eventually deduce that it's somebody from the team. But before that, we get wacky shenanigans. And the thing I like about this movie is a lot of times they'll go through something and it doesn't really lead to anything. It's just more for comedy. And like to the point where not every mystery is solved in a linear fashion. They wanted to create a Sherlock Holmes type character, but make him ridiculous.
And they succeeded in that. I mean, when you take a guy who, again, they hire strictly to just to find this dolphin, and all this comes out of him finding a, I guess you could say, a gemstone in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And he deduces that it is a gem from the AFC championship ring of the Dolphins back from like 84.
Yeah.
And then he goes on this montage of trying to figure out who is missing this little gem from their ring.
Well, so before that, he finds it in the filter of the pool.
Yeah.
And which is, did you know there's like a bunch of different versions of this movie where like,
well, there's that whole scene is different in
on TV
versus
or
TV versus I think it's theatrical version, yes.
What, I don't know why, but anyway.
I think it's the way he pretends to be the trainer. That
oh, yeah.
was cut
yeah.
from the movie, and then it was put back into TV or something like that.
He's so funny, I can't. But he finds this rock, and he actually goes to that big fancy party because they were looking for fishing equipment. Anybody who bought like a large tank at the time. He has like his computer buddy help him in the metal bands.
Wasn't the computer buddy also part of the cartoon show a lot more?
What was his name?
Woodstock. What's his name? Woodstock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Woodstock.
Maybe then.
He looks like a cartoon character, like character.
Yeah. Woodstock. What a name.
What's the password? New England clam chowder. Is that the red or the white? I can never remember that.
Yeah. White. Yes. But so they figure out at the party, because obviously we have the iconic – one of the most iconic scenes of the movie is the Jaws parody.
Yeah.
I will never not laugh at him doing the Mission Impossible music and doing dramatic sneaking around. I'll never not laugh. Like, I can't help myself. It's just the funny – and if I was in that situation, I'd probably do the same thing too. It reminds me of The Emperor's New Groove with Kronk and when he's trying to hide Cusco's body and he's doing his own theme music. And I think Cusco even points out, he's like, is he doing his own theme music? But I'll always laugh at that. So, I mentioned that this scene is probably one of the most iconic, the Jaws scene. What's another iconic moment from this movie? Like, from all the trailers and what everybody remembers, obviously the do not go in there, and then he hits the water out of his pocket.
Yeah, go in there. That's probably iconic. I think the scene of him with the Ray Finkel's parents, with the shotgun in front of his face, and he just goes on that. I've always tried to do that. I can't. I don't have enough air in my body to be able to speak that fast and that quick and be able to.
He does it. He does it a few times too, and he does it in the second movie as well. And like, because the thing about Ace Ventura is he's really smart. He's just friggin' weird.
And that's what you love about when he goes to the actual, the police department, and he's friends with
Emilio Tone Loc.
Emilio, played by Tone Loc, another You want to watch a 90s movie. If you see Tone Loc in it, you know it's a 90s movie.
I learned that he does not have
Blank Check, Surf Ninjas.
Oh my God. We never did Blank Check. I would do that movie.
Yeah. But he's obviously ridiculed and made fun of by all the other cops because they think, he's just a pet detective, but he proves to them numerous times where he's actually smarter than they are.
Yeah, we get a great scene where after Roger Pedactor, the team's head of operations, mysteriously dies, Lieutenant Einhorn, who we establish has a very antagonistic relationship with Ace, like she hates him to a point, she determines that it was a suicide. And he goes on a tirade about why it couldn't have been a suicide. And it's hilarious.
I love this scene because this truly proves how smart he is, and it really shows that he knows what he's talking about.
The best is you see the realization on Iron Horse's face when he's doing the sliding glass. Like, she realizes, because we do find out that she's the one that killed him later. Yeah. And at that moment, though, you just think she realized she got outsmarted, but you find out that it's such a great scene.
It really is, because he's just like, are you sure you had to open this door? Yes. And he just does the whole...
only this
open, closed, open, closed.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is soundproof glass. There's no way she could have heard him scream with that door closed.
Yeah,
it's just like, wow. Not only that, but like you know, to get into that dark area of like actually having a murder, like a character that you saw in the beginning of the movie and he's murdered and you're like, wow, what's going on here? Like this movie's went a little dark a little there, you know, what's it going
to
be like?
And this is right after the montage of them trying to find the ring and he's tackling all the football players. He's
tackling
he's
all the players.
Pretending to be a Make-A-Wish kid. The urinal scene.
See, like that to me should also piss people. If you're going to be pissed off about Einhorn, like to me, that scene would also should piss you off too, because that's just like, come on. You know, but people just want to focus their hatred on other things.
Yeah. So they realize, though, that it's an athlete named Ray Finkel, who was, because he sees like the previous, like an earlier photo of the team before Finkel got cut.
Yeah.
And he's like, who the hell is that? It's so good. But and they determined that Ray Finkel mishandled a kick and cost the Dolphins a Super Bowl championship.
So I don't know. I can't speak for before this movie came out if laces out was an actual thing that kickers worried about. But when I tell you, every time I watch a football game, and if a kicker whiffs on a kick, like kicks it like wide left or wide right, and you watch the replay, and there are numerous times where you see the ball and you see the laces are facing in, and the announcers are like, oh, God, it had to be laces out. I mean, that's how iconic that full storyline has become,
right?
Is that it's still to this day in every, you know, most football games is being referenced, the whole laces out thing, which I thought was hysterical. I really did.
Laces out.
And when he goes to the parents and these, you know, the dad is all there and he's just like angry and he just doesn't want to be bothered. The mother is, you know,
she thinks Ray's coming home any minute now.
Yeah, as the father puts it, the motor's running, but there's nobody behind the wheel.
Yeah,
and that's the lady from Ghostbusters in the beginning, the lady that gets scared by the ghost. She's just in the many things I see her, she's always funny.
Yeah, she's one of those actresses that pops up a lot.
And when she says Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rotten hell, and she says it so calmly and so sweet, like you're like, aw, this little lady, she's so nice.
Yeah, I like it. Oh, God, no. Then you see Ray's room.
He sees Ray's room, and it's just like, I'm in Psychosville, and Finkel's the mayor. Mm-hmm.
And that's when Dan Marino gets kidnapped.
In addition, 1990s, you gotta get Dan Marino in the movie.
I still say his role in Little Nicky was better.
That was good. His role in the movie.
You gave it to Namath.
But I'm a Jets fan.
Sports. Anyway, so now we have both Finkel, we have both Dan Marino and Snowflake missing, and Ace decides to go to the loony bin finally. Best line, I need you to commit me. And he smiles. And it is probably one of my favorite, like the whole him dresses with the tutu on, and he thinks he's playing a football game forever. Like it's just so funny. That's another thing that's become very memeable nowadays. Like every once in a while, you'll see like, when he smacks his head on the ground, it's like how I'm dealing with life. He'll be okay there for like 15 minutes.
And then he gets into the storage room, and that's where he like he finds Ray Finkel's box. He sees, you know, an article from a newspaper about a hiker named Einhorn, who has called off the search for her because she's gone missing. And you see that the gear is grinding, and you see that he's like, okay, there's something here. Now there's like Einhorn and Finkel. Like, what do they got together? And then you get that, oh, so good. It really is just so memorable. Like,
yeah.
Einhorn, Finkel.
And we find out that Finkel got his number was replaced by the Dolphin. The Dolphin had his number.
Oh yeah, that was another.
And it was a kicker. Finkel. Yeah, like that drove him to psychosis. Anywho, sports. So we get the reveal that Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel, and Finkel is Einhorn's a man. And
your gun is digging into my hip.
That's actually really funny. So Ace manages to track them down, and he dispatches the guards, and he fights Einhorn, and she like beats the crap out of him.
She does. She takes care of him.
Yeah. But, and he tries to prove that Einhorn is a man. So first, Eddie progressively undresses her, and, you know, she's got you know, a female upper body. That kind of surgery can be done over the weekend. Like, and then he pulls off her pants.
And then Stan Marino calls him over and is like, hey. He goes, ah, okay.
So we find out that he's Buffalo Billing it.
Yeah.
And they found Captain Winky. And every cop in that room starts spinning because it implies that she made out with every single one of them.
Pretty much. Yeah. And I think that's what the hysterical thing was. And I think that's what was missed. It was like she just was all over every male, you know,
to keep everybody away from her so she can enact her plan. It wasn't like, again, it's just it's overcomplicated, stupid for like nowadays. It's just it's a comedy movie, 1994. It's 30 years old, this movie. Let's all calm down. We're doing a lot of 30-year-old anniversaries.
We are. A lot of good movies came out in 93, 94.
What a time to be alive. And then, so they get the dolphin back. They have their happily ever after, and that's the movie.
And that's the movie.
Yeah. Lover of animals, of all animals. Ace Ventura, and he's beating up the mascot. So now, obviously, when a movie like this comes out, and it makes... what's times 10 of their budget almost? Like, they made it
15 million to 100 million. That's 7 times its budget.
So, obviously, a sequel is going to come out. And 2 years later, it did. And we have Ace Ventura When Nature Calls on a budget of 30 million, so double its initial budget, which makes sense. They're traveling to new locations. They made $212.4 million. Jordan Faye's back, and that's the game. Liar, liar, for anybody who doesn't know. But yeah, so now we have Ace Ventura 2, and I will still say it is my preferred movie. If I'm going to watch an Ace Ventura movie, I'm going to put this one on.
Fair. That's fair.
They're both the same, the kind of movie where they're both equally good.
I never said they were equally good.
I did not say that. I don't know why you're getting defensive, Sean.
Because you were coming at me pretty hard there. How dare you? How dare you criticize this movie?
I believe it's
the greatest movie ever made.
Well, you are putting words in my butt right now. Do you get that? Because it's Ace Ventura. You know, he talks
about it. Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
He bends over and speaks from his rear. Oh, him. But anyway, so I will never not laugh at the slinky joke. I will never not laugh at it. Isn't this incredible? It's going to be some kind of a record. Sean's losing it. The best part of our podcast.
It's so dumb, but it's so great. Like, it seems... Well, first of all, the movie starts off with a spoof on Cliffhanger, which had just come out like a year prior.
Yes.
But instead of it being another person that he doesn't get to save, it is a raccoon.
It's so funny. It's hard to watch.
Oh my god, it is just...
Is it weird that it's harder to watch the raccoon die than watch like a person die?
That's come on now.
It's animals. Animals always do it. It's always animals.
But and then of course we get the scene of the guy going up the stairs, and then yes, as you just said, he bends down and speaks from his rear and he goes, oh him.
Well, because like he's like, I need to see Ace Ventura. We all have no names here. Well, he's like, and he's like just trying to describe him, and they're like, no, we're all the same. We're all, and oh, him. And he's just so disdain. So he goes in, and basically, this guy, Fulton Greenwald, has been hired to find Ace Ventura to help them find a missing animal. And Ace has now taken a vow of like monkness. What I don't even know what the word would be, monkism?
Religious something.
He's trying to be a monk. And he's got all the animals there. And the best is when he's like, I can't leave. And the monk comes in, if I may interject. And he's like, oh, you just got spiritual enlightenment right there. Gives him his medal. He's like, this took you 80 years to get. He's like, you keep it. I don't even like it. They're so desperate to get him out of there. And they have a huge party.
They're partying and they're walking by. And there's like the naked guy runs by them. He's like, and the guy in the back is doing flips.
And the doors close. He's like, I've never seen them act like that. Denial can be an ugly thing. It's so good. And of course.
And then he's like, it's like, why don't we go catch the plane? He goes, in a moment. There's one more thing I must do.
And he does he's a like, slinky yeah. down.
He's at the bottom of the stairs looking at his watch. And all of a sudden, it's the slinky.
Just cuts to the slinky. Oh, God. It's still. And my favorite follow-up line. Of course. How selfish of me. let's do all the things that you want to do. It's his delivery.
You say that to your wife all the time, don't you?
No, I would never say that to my wife. But anyway, so they travel to Africa, and ironically enough, Ace still has no idea what kind of animal he's trying to find.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't until they're in the jungle, the mighty jungle where the lion sleeps tonight. That song actually gets played in this movie twice, but anyway, that Ace finds out that it's the great white bat known as Shikaka. And he loses his mind.
Shikaka.
Because he doesn't like bats, apparently. The one animal he doesn't like. And, oh, yeah. So
we have to talk about, because before this is when he goes to the consulate.
Oh, it's before that?
And the consulate is before he finds out it's a bat, because he doesn't know yet until he's almost at the village. And he goes to the village after the consulate.
Oh, I got that. But
we get the famous do not pass go, do not collect $200.
Yeah, so Ace,
which goes... I believe that was in the trailer.
Oh yeah, it was. Like, it definitely was. But the best is one of my favorite just visual gags is when it cuts to Ace and he's driving and his head's like bumping and he's like, the road's really rough. And then it cuts there on a nicely paved road.
Smooth.
There's a McDonald's sign.
And he's singing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as they're like, you know, going through the woods.
Oh, it's so good. And then so they get to the consulate and obviously they also do the like a glove joke again. And he's got to put his head out the window. There's a couple of recurring jokes from the first movie in this one. And so they're hired by, what's his name? Gabby?
Vincent Cadby, yeah.
Cadby, from the consulate, right? This is weird. He gets hired and basically they're like, hey, like there's going to be a tribal war. They consider it a bad omen. Like basically if they don't find this bat, the tribes are going to go to war and the whole Wachutu tribe is going to be?
Wachutu.
Yes. The Wachati are the bad guys. The Wachuchu are the good guys. But they're like pacifists. They're going to get slaughtered.
Wachutu are the bad guys. Wachiti are the good guys.
Damn it.
Sorry.
I'm trying to read and talk and be entertaining. And I'm struggling on all fronts, apparently.
No, man. It's tough. I get it.
So I like how Spike the Monkey has a much bigger role in this movie, too.
Yes, Spike the Monkey is bigger in this one, definitely.
Yeah. They get, and one of my favorite jokes, I'll never not laugh at it, is when they're doing the presentation and he's clicking through the slides and he does the hi-ho silver away.
Which is cut most of the time when it's on TV.
If it's ever cut on TV, I will turn the movie off. That's how mad I get about it.
Well, it's always cut on the TV because they just want to cut it because of what he does before that.
Honk,
and they just
honk,
deem,
honk, honk,
just
honk.
Cut the whole thing. Hi-ho silver away!
It's still the best thing. But I hear producer Melanie's laughing in the background. Silly goose. So now Sean's laughing. He's losing it. I like how Sean's microphone cuts out every once in a while so nobody hears him laugh. Yeah. But we also get a couple of iconic scenes, like him on the horse, and he's like, and he takes the horse prod and he smacks him with it. He's like, funny, didn't look that painful when you were doing it to the horse. And another scene from the trailer was when he has all the asparagus in his teeth. Do I have something in my teeth?
Something in my teeth.
Yeah. You don't bring Ace Ventura to your fancy parties, apparently. Sean's actually losing it. He can't.
Because I don't think I've actually sat down and watched these movies in a while. I just really, really
want
to now.
They are so good. But so Ace takes the job, obviously. And obviously, Cadby's the bad guy. Like, it's super obvious. They are not even subtle about it in this movie, even though he has his cover story. He's like, I hired you so nobody would think it was me. I was like, I knew it as a child. But anyway, so we get the typical Ace shenanigans. He goes to the village and Bumblebee Tuna. And he sneezes after. They're like, they didn't know disease until the white man came. And he sneezes and they're all like, ah. And of course, probably Sean, I can say this is probably one of your favorite scenes, is when Ace finds out that if he says Shikaka, the name of the bat, they kneel.
That is a great scene.
Chicago, you're out of here.
Crossing Redemption.
Shish kebab. I will say the spit scene is probably one of the grossest things. That's the only scene in this movie that I'm like, that's disgusting and too much.
See, the spit scene doesn't bother me. It's more the him coming out of the rhino's ass scene.
That's iconic. How dare you?
How is that? You think that's iconic?
It's legendary. That is probably one of my. That's such a funny scene. Are you kidding?
So wrong.
Right, producer Melanie's making some faces in the background. But anyway.
What, that you think that's iconic or that it's, she agrees with you?
Which scene is grosser? She's just making faces. Which scene's grosser?
Neither. She doesn't want either.
When Ace Ventura is born out of the rhino or the spit scene? She's saying the rhino. Oh, wow.
Ah.
Don't you ha? Don't you ha? God. I keep telling her she's not allowed to participate unless she's on the microphone. Now she's saying "Hi Ho Silver Away" in the background. Yep. Make sure you guys check out Bibliophiles Assembled now back on Instagram. But anyway, what? So we get the typical shenanigans. I do love they got the balance beam where the warriors have to stand there for like 3 days. Earthquake test.
Yes.
They start shaking it. They're all like, "Ah!" Oh. He's like, "He's good. With my help, he could be the best." And then later he shoots spitballs at.
I love when he goes to the other tribe and
hold on before that.
We meet
the love interest whose name we never find out.
I don't really call her a love interest.
Well, so Sophie Okonedo as the Wachiti princess, and
yeah,
I didn't get these jokes as a child.
No.
Yeah, so she's the virgin and she's of the tribe and she's promised to the Wachutu leader so that way that it would their tribes would merge. So yes. She comes up with the virgin's dance of seduction. As a child, I'm like, what? Who? All I knew was virgin shouldn't light the black flame candle. That's all I knew. But anyway, deep cut, hocus pocus. So there's nothing better when she like gets all up in his face and he's like, "I am no longer tempted by the sins of the flesh. They are just procreational vessels for our children. Do you have a dollar?" And obviously I also did not get when she tries to seduce him and he's like, "No, I can't." Because she's never known the touch of a man. She wants to satisfy her new husband. This doesn't happen in real life. Get out of here, movie. But so he turns her down and then it cuts to him knocking one out in his hut. Again, this is 1995. I didn't know what was going on. It shows him in the shadow just rocking back and forth. He's like, "Oh yeah, oh," and what's his face walks in, and he's like, "I was just practicing my mantra. If I don't practice my mantra, I get cranky." And then they go to the village.
Yes.
Yep.
Gets put into like a sort of like back and forth with the Chutu prince who was
tries to blend in. And he gets up and he's trying to dance with, for some reason he takes the mask off, but even I'm sure they already realized, but yeah, so they challenge him to, it's like three challenges or something like that.
He walks on fire
by pushing another guy on.
He walks on him.
Yep.
And then the medical one where the one guy reaches into the grabs the heart or something out of the body and he takes a pregnant woman and just pushes down.
And the baby goes flying out. Yep, that's how it works, don't you know? But yes.
Oh my god.
So he
the best is when he gets into the circle with the prince and they got the spears. Gets him in the leg.
Oh yeah. Aouda. Let's not forget Aouda's with them to help translate. One of the village helpful guy. And he's like, "Aouda, don't just stand there, throw me a spear." And he gets one in each like, it's too funny.
It's
I can't.
In the bone. It's in the bone.
And they only accept him because he's literally like a clown. Iquitsuocha, yeah. The white devil. It's one of my favorite just moments of good script where it's like, where he calls him, "Iquetsuocha, Iquetsuocha." He goes, "Let me guess, white devil, Ace, you speak Wachutu." It's such a silly, subtle line, but it's a good one. So they determine now that the Wachutu aren't the ones that stole the bat based on the darts that they use. Because earlier in the movie, Ace gets... He thinks he found them, but he gets ambushed by hunters and sent over a waterfall.
Yes.
And he beats up an alligator.
That's right. I forgot about that scene was in the trailer too.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Water tastes good. Glub, glub. Like, it's just so stupid. But yeah. So they figure out, like, he uses astral projection because Ace can do that with his powerful meditation, and he visits his elder, and they determine that it's because of the guano in the caves that all this is happening. And they realize that Cadby is the one who hired the two poachers to steal the bat because bat guano is worth like billions of dollars. And again, it's one of those scenes where Ace does his deep inhale. I thought you would never ask. And he goes into, he breaks down the entire crime. And he was right. Yeah. So I do love when he's like, arrest him. Arrest him. Simon says, arrest him. All right, can we go to jail now? And but the best is he's like, Greenwald, the lights, hit him. And he's like, ducks. And Greenwald's like, I don't know what to do right now. The switch next to you, hit it. But they get the elephant helps Ace escape.
The elephant comes and saves him by sitting on the guy.
And he gets all of the animals to help. And Greenwald does jump in and he punches one of the guys in the face to save Ace.
Yeah.
And we get... Yeah. We get one of the best chases of all time. Cadby gets away with the bat in his car, and Ace runs out. He looks in one car, and then he runs it and looks in the next car, and it's just the cars are getting progressively bigger.
Bigger.
Sometimes I think it would have been funnier truck. Sometimes if it had just cut to the keys, like him looking in and seeing the keys. But you need the buildup. I get it.
You need the buildup.
And he takes...
I love the part where he's got the skunk, and he goes, hey, poachers,
say hello to
my stinky little friend.
Yep. And then we get probably one of my favorite lines. Cadby, from the consulate, right? This is weird.
It's weird.
And he manages to
He throws the lighter into the
and then Cadby crashes. The bat gets dislodged, and so he manages to the cage is stuck, so he can't pull the cage out. He manages to survive, face his fears for the most part, and he takes the bat, and it just cuts to him running with it.
Chicago!
He runs, like, literally, the tribes are about to fight, and he manages and to like run through. Them. And so they all kneel, and they see Cadby, and Aouda is the one that goes, Iquetsuocha! Iquetsuocha! And the guy that was beating the crap out of Ace, who, Tony, what's his face? Oh, my God.
Tommy Davidson.
Who went to go play the parent in The Proud Family. You remember that animated show on Disney Channel?
Yeah, he was also a regular on In Living Color.
So funny. But they chase him down, and in terms of just desserts, he gets violently handled by a gorilla. But, of course, nobody's going to say anything about that nowadays.
With the interspecies erotica.
Yeah. Oh.
But, with the lion sleeps tonight in the playing in the back.
So the tribes get married, and he's actually marrying, or the girl's marrying the little warrior guy.
And, yeah.
Puma! It says, alrighty then. And Ace is like, I'm just happy to help. You know, we are all God's creatures. And he comes out of the hut and he's screaming, like the husband. And they're like, what's that he's saying? I believe he's saying she's not a virgin. They can tell that. Chicago, and it just cuts him running away from the tribes.
Oh god. So good.
Yeah, and that's the Ace Ventura movies. Now there is an animated show, but it's not in a whole lot of continuity to the actual movies. But it's just so good, and they did make a standalone TV sequel called Ace Ventura Jr. Pet Detective, where it is in continuity, supposedly, where you find out that Ace Ventura married Melissa and had a son named Ace Ventura Jr. He does not make any appearance in the movie. Yeah, the movie did not get any stellar reviews. It was trashed. And like I feel bad because like it's a kid's movie. But they did it was
directed by the guy who did Sandlot.
Yeah, it's a bad decision though to make this into a kid movie, in all honesty, because you missed your opportunity to catch like the kid market on, because this came out in 2009.
Yeah,
it would have been, they need a, if they're gonna do anything with Ace Ventura, it's got to be a legacy sequel. I don't want them to reboot it. I don't want any of that, but a nice legacy sequel.
I think it's also too late to do a legacy sequel. I mean, it's already been almost 10 years since Dumb and Dumber 2, which
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that ever. Thank you. Thank you for for that sad note. But you want to do Star City ratings?
Sure. You go first or me?
I'll go first. I'm going to give the first one. Now, they're going to be close. They're going to be exceptionally, exceptionally close. I'm going to give the first one a 4, and then the second one just gets like a 4.01. Like, they're very neck and neck, but if I'm going to put one on, I'm going to put on the second one.
I pretty much agree. I'm going to give both of them 4s. They're both extremely rewatchable in any sense. I think I like the story of the first one just better, just because the whole notion of detective and, you know, it's actually a hard-nosed detective-ish type of a story. But that's not to negate the second one. I think the second one is just utter buffoonery to the greatest level.
They took everything that worked good of the first one and dialed it. Yeah,
they took everything that was great in the first one and they really just upped it in the second one. But I think they're both so good. It's one of the rare sequels that is just as good.
Oh, absolutely.
And then in some cases, to some people, better than the original.
Yeah,
I think it's also because it came out literally the following year. There was not much of a gap here between these two movies.
Which I think just like helps it in the
boom,
long.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was boom, boom, you know, always Ventura all the time. And, you know, I'm sad we never got a third one because, I mean, when you think about it, 1995, you know, as we stated earlier in the episode, you know, he was at the top movie-wise for at least another 5 years. You know, they could have easily done a third one. I don't know if they ever really approached him to do one back in the day. I'm only hearing about one within the last couple of years, but you know, it's a shame because I think they could have done a third one and probably still had a very good storyline to it. So sadly we'll never see that.
It's a shame. It is a shame.
Yeah, no, but I mean, if someone's listening to this and they have not seen these movies,
sorry for spoiling it.
Well, A, that, and B, where have you been all this time? And go watch these movies. They're freaking hilarious.
Yeah. All right, with that, we have our Fan Feedback Friday. This week, we had 4 choices for you to pick. We had the animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle show, the Mighty Ducks animated series, Gargoyles, and Captain Planet. Pick one out of those 4.
Oh. Can I just ask? I was tempted to comment going like, okay, 2 out of the 4 of these are like memorable, iconic TV shows. The other 2 are kind of like,
Which 2 are eh?
Mighty Ducks and Captain Planet.
He's our hero.
I never considered Captain Planet on the level of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He's going to take pollution down to 0.
It's good, but I thought maybe like, I thought you would have put like, I don't know, Transformers or, you know, were you trying to stick to like a superhero theme?
I did not make this.
Okay.
There you go. You probably should have just asked me that. I did not make this. I found it. I thought
it was
interesting.
Just a weird 4 grouping of 4. I thought it was just surprising.
Weird grouping of 4. So we had 1 Gargoyles, 1 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, another Gargoyles. Some guy named Sean said Turtles. I don't like him. Producer Melanie said Captain Planet. So I hope you are ready to apologize to her. Oh, I just heard
not knocking Captain Planet.
No. And then another for Gargoyles. Maybe I'll just do an episode on Gargoyles without you because you're no fun. You've never seen it.
Wow, I have seen Gargoyles.
You've seen all of it?
Not all of it. I've seen like the first 3 seasons of it.
All right, then we'll talk later. All right. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. You go to our Facebook page every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll usually post something, so make sure you guys check that out. If you guys are looking for shut up, Sean. But I try my best, all right? You know what? I try my best. But if you guys are looking for more of our content, we're on all the social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that stuff. Just type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. And always check out our website, themisfitfaction.com. You'll find news, reviews, articles, and more. 2 brand new articles dropped this week, so make sure you guys check those out. And make sure you guys pick up some merch while you're there. It really helps support the show. But I think that's pretty much going to wrap us up, unless you have anything else mean to say, Sean.
I never have anything mean to say. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, birds
but
are...
no, I'm good.
Oh, thank God. But anyway, that's going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
You suck.